Chapter 2. Close to the north side of the Abbey building, a new construction was underway. Astride the wooden scaffolding of a half-finished bell tower, young Dandin pounded doggedly away at the hollow beech log. Thunk, 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 thunk. Though he was a sturdily built little mouse, he felt himself driven aback by the blasting wind. Shaking rainwater from his eyes, he bent his head against the onslaught of the storm and continued stubbornly thwacking the log with two hefty yew clubs. Whenever Dandin raised his gaze slightly, he could see the fringe of surrounding mossflower woods swaying and hissing, rustling and sighing like a restless ocean.
Dandin, come down, you'll catch your death up there.
The young mouse peered over the scaffold, shielding his eyes against the deluge. Draped about with a clean, worn-out flour sack, Mother Mellis, the red-wall badger, stamped a huge paw upon the wet sward.
Do you hear me, young mouse? I said down this instant.
Dandin blew rainwater from his whiskers. Smiling roguishly, he called back.
Right this instant, ma'am, just like you say.
Without a backward glance, Dandin threw himself from the tower and came plunging earthward to the accompaniment of the badger's startled growls. Not more than a fraction from the ground, he stopped falling and swung there, dangling by a strong vine rope harnessed about his waist. Dandin touched his nose with a wet paw.
Came as quick as I could, ma'am.
A huge paw cuffed him roughly about the ears as Mother Mellis freed him from the encircling vine rope. Tucking him firmly in her elbow crook like a baby, she hurried in out of the rain, scolding Dandin as he complained loud and long.
Put me down! I'm not a baby! I can walk!
No, you're not a baby. You're a young pickle, do you hear? And you should know better. Throwing yourself from a high tower like that. By the weasel's whiskers, you scared me out of 10 seasons' growth.
I know what I'm doing. It was completely safe. Now, will you put me down? I can stand on my own paws, you know.
I'll put you down, you young rip. Next time I'll tan your hide so hard you won't be able to sit down until berry picking. Just let me catch you jumping from high places like that again. What do you do if the vine snapped, eh? Then we wouldn't have to dig a grave. You'd go so far into the earth, when you hit the ground, you'd be able to shake paws with the tap roots of an oak. Be still, you little blackguard, or you'll feel the back of my paw. Young Abbey beasts these days, I don't know.
Scolding and arguing by turns, the young mouse and the old badger went inside the abbey. Mother Mellis kicked the huge door shut behind her, leaving the storm to rage on outside. Across Great Hall, in the cosy surroundings of Cavern Hole, Abbot Bernard sat at head of table with Brother Simeon on his left paw and Formole, the mole leader, on his right. Lanterns twinkled around the homely festive board. Moles jostled shoulders with mice. Hedgehogs sat next to otters and squirrels. The abbey infants were allowed to sit at table with their elders. They were mainly woodland orphans, gathered in by Mother Mellis. Baby mice, small hedgehogs, a young squirrel, and twin otters who had been brought by their parents. Little ones, who were known as Dibbons. They were sat on the table edges, facing the brothers and sisters of Redwall, the good mice who tended and cared for them. Redwall Fair was famous throughout the length and breadth of Mossflower. The abbey grew all its own produce, and Redwall cooks were experts. Formole had his nose buried in a raspberry cream pudding, speaking in the rustic mole language through mouthfuls of his favourite sweet.
Oh, ain't nothing like raspberry pudding, no, sir. I could eat this year pudding till next mole day and still ax for more.
Gabe Quill, the hedgehog cellar keeper, held a noggin of pear cordial up to a lantern, swishing it about as he inspected its bright amber colour critically.
What do you think of that for a touch of good cellar keeping?